just before you left the Navy, was there anything that the Navy did to help you prepare for civilian life?
No, not the Navy. I suppose I could have gone on this or that course, like, for example, a work-study course or something, but that was a new invention then. But remembering that I left the Navy early and rather suddenly, so there was no preparation, no time for preparation in leaving the Navy.
What happened to you on your last day?
On the last day in the Navy, I was taken down with a number of others from HMS Mercury into Victory Barracks. And there, I remember we were all spoken to by the Commodore, and we were issued a certificate which was to the effect that you have served as an ambassador of your country for 22 years or more. I was a little disappointed that it was a pre-printed one. I didn't actually state that I did longer in the Navy than I did. It credited me with having done 22 years. I think there was one other chief and perhaps one or two petty officers, but the Commodore shook hands with all of us. We were all lined up and he shook hands with all of us. And I walked out the gate as though I'd never been in the Navy. I'd never felt so detached. And I think I've only been back into the barracks.
Did you feel disappointed that the Navy hadn't made more of an effort?
Well, I suppose I did in a way, but one has to write it off. I wasn't the only one in the Navy. The thousands have gone before me, but I didn't think much of the way I was shunted out of the Navy, really. Not really. I mean, I could have just as easily walked out at HMS Mercury and been brought down to Petersfield. Why did I have to go to the barracks? You know, to me it was a great disappointment.
You've served on a number of ships over the years. What do you think makes for a happy ship, and what was your happiest ship?
Well, without any doubt in my mind, the happiest ship I ever served in, I think, was the Norfolk. It was my first ship, and it was the time of my life when I was perhaps at the most impressionable age. And I learned a lot when I was in that ship. I had the additional bonus of having a brother on board. And I think the fact that the ship was always being involved in this or that or the other thing. Some of the events on board the Norfolk were quite serious, really. Even before I joined, the Norfolk was the first ship in the Royal Navy to be hit by a 1,000-pound bomb, that in Scapa Flow when she was at anchor. And I think that sort of incident blends the crew very much together. And the difficulties which were experienced when I was on board, not only the Bismarck chase, which happened to be early on in my naval seagoing career, but the other things that happened. I mean, we had months and months and months of absolutely foul weather, bitterly cold. In the winter, it was black day and night. In the summer, sun was shining at midnight, and it's quite the reverse to what you normally expect. I wouldn't say that we had terribly good sports teams because we didn't have much opportunity for sport on that ship. But it was quite a happy ship, really, as far as I was concerned. And I think my brother thought the same. He served about 4.5 years on that ship. But as regards the others, some ships are better than others. It depends, I suppose, also what you're doing. I mean, I enjoyed it on the London, but I wasn't doing my normal job. I wasn't out in the open watching what was going on. I was down below decks, and I would have hated to have been an engineer deep down in the ship and knowing nothing.
What do you think makes for a happy ship?
Well, I suppose basically it's the discipline for one thing, and perhaps the way that the ship is run. I mean, if there are no bad captains in the Navy, but some are better than others. And the officers are very good as a rule. One occasionally comes across someone who's a bit difficult, but then of course, well, it could equally be said as my fault as much as his. But no, I think life in the Navy is good, and providing you get a fair share of what's going. I suppose, looking back, I was lucky. I had two shore jobs, but I worked hard at them. The one thing I did do before I left the Navy, I laid the foundations, if you like, for something which has occupied much of my time since I left the Navy, and that is that in 1968, when I left the Navy, we attended a reunion of Chief Petty Officers at HMS Mercury. I was already working at the Houses of Parliament, and I'd been chatting to two or three of the fellows there about the reunions in HMS Mercury. And the outcome of this was that one of the fellows that I'd been talking about, or to about it, he undertook to stand up at the next reunion, and which we had the following year, and the following autumn he proposed that we formed an association of Chief Petty Officers of the Communication Branch, so as to make sure that these reunions would continue ad infinitum. Well, that was well received, and the following April, five of us who were interested met in Purbrook, and we decided we were going to, there was such a unanimous acclaim at the last reunion, which was run by the mess, that we decided we would form a chief's association. I was elected its first chairman, a job I did for 10 years. The other committee members served a total of about 20-odd years each. After having been chairman, I only gave up that job to be secretary for 10 years. And since then, I was on the committee for a further 12 years. So I had 32 years of commitment since I joined the Navy, doing things for the branch, which I immensely enjoyed. And of course now, I didn't go to the last reunion because I wasn't able to walk. And I doubt very much if I should go to this one. But that's about the only thing I did before I left the Navy proper. I got involved in that. But as regards leaving the House of Commons, that's a different story. I had one opportunity to do a pre-retirement course, which was run by one of the ministries, and I was invited to go to this before I retired. I was due to retire officially on the 15th of August, 89, but I'd written to the Sergeant-at-Arms about 6 weeks earlier and suggested that it might be prudent if I retired earlier so that the new incumbent coming in as number three in the office would come in at a time when the office was in full flight, rather than at the end of the summer recess and come in cold. the sergeant at arms had agreed to this, and I was invited to go to this pre-retirement course just before I was due to retire. I was looking forward to that. My wife was invited to go as well, but there was a tube strike in London at that time, and the course was cancelled till October. So I had to go all the way from here up to there. It was a very interesting course, but the one thing that I was most disappointed about is that when we had a talk about pensions, it said, we were told that we could write to Newcastle, the pensions place at Newcastle, and they would give us an assessment of what our pension would be. When I wrote to Newcastle, of course I was too late to do it before I retired, and Newcastle wouldn't hear of someone writing to them after they'd retired. They weren't interested in the reason. It wasn't my fault I applied late. It was because I didn't know anything about it until I did a retirement course. And by the time the retirement course took place, I'd already retired. So I didn't get time off from work to attend. I had to go up from here every day to attend.
Going back to your time in the Navy,
mm-hmm.
Do you have any memories of any of the people you served with on any of the ships that you'd like to talk about?
Well, the main thing I remember about the people that I served with, the ones who were, as it were, close to, like, for example, captains of ships, flag lieutenants, signal officers and so on, I always got on so well with them. I never, ever had a cross word with any. And I've met lots of them since. In fact, I went to the funeral of one here in Petersfield about 18 months ago. And I used to be the instructor who used to check his test papers every weekend when he was on an officer's course. The man was marvellous. I don't know how he did it, but he was able to give the answers as though he saw them written on the wall. It was difficult to find a fault. He was a great friend of mine. He also later became an auditor with me for the Chiefs Association. And we used to trip off once a year to audit the books up the line somewhere. I think the only person I ever fell out with really was the signal bosun who was on the Norfolk with me. That was several years later. He was the lieutenant commander in HMS Impregnable, and I was the duty petty officer, and I was doing this job for the first time, and I know it was something to do with boats coming and bringing the sailors across from HMS Drake. And apparently I left HMS Drake before I should have done. Being a bit green at the time, I suppose that was reasonable, but he didn't think it was. So he put me in my picture and told me this ever happens again. And I used to get on very well with everybody. I have no regrets whatsoever about my time in the Royal Navy or at the House of Commons. The only thing I would say is that I think it's high time that nations got together and stopped all these wars. They're a waste of time and money.